This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. Thank you for joining us. And wherever you're joining us or whatever platform you're reaching us through, whether it be YouTube or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts, make sure you hit the subscribe. You don't want to miss any Mile High Tick, and certainly we want to see you at Mile High August 20th to 23rd. It is an extreme honor to be able to introduce this episode's guest. He has been an inspiration, I will say personally to myself, since I was at chiropractic school, and we'll talk about that later. He's a world-renowned specialist in human behavior, a researcher, author, and global educator. Dr. John D. Martini has developed a series of solutions applicable across all markets, sectors, age groups, and he's just an incredible person. He's a human behavior specialist, educator, internationally published author. He has a curriculum over 72 courses in the DeMartini Institute. He's a graduate of Parker College, Chiropractic College. And Dr. John, it's an honor to have you aboard.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're grateful to have you. I want to say where I first met you was Sherman College, speaking at Sherman many, many years ago, probably 25 years ago.
Yes.
And you gave such an inspiring talk under the big top tent at that time, and the whole school student body was so moved. We still have our buttons that say, "I'm a genius and I apply my wisdom."
I remember that. That goes way back.
Yes, it does. And we're talking during this time of this coronavirus pandemic that's going on, and I would be remiss to not start with that. What could you share with for chiropractors and their patients at this point?
Well, I'm going to call it St. Corona. Everybody else is calling it one side, but I don't ever see challenges without opportunities or setbacks without step forwards. I believe that it's going to assist chiropractors in caring deeply about the patients and make contact and communications and relate to them and interact with them on higher levels. It's going to make them focus on the absolute highest priority actions that serve the patients most effectively and efficiently. It's going to make them prioritize and really make sure they get down to the absolute essence, so there's no fat, they trim the fat, if you will. And they're now having a desire more than anything else to be able to put their hands and hearts and minds back with those patients, because they've been a set, you know, temporary little reprieve there. When I stop and think about it, people have taken 2-week vacations before. We've had 2 or 3 week, just a little longer vacation. But this is an opportunity to go in there and clean up, straighten out, get the office ready for a flood of patients. Make sure you go in there and keep a conscious focus on all the names. You know, I worked with a doctor many years ago in Chicago. And I was about to consult with his office, because in the 80s, I used to do a lot of that in the offices. And we went in there and I asked him at dinner before the consult the next day, I said, "I want you to make a list of all the names of all the patients that you can think of and all their full names. And we're going to go through and we're going to make a list of them. And the moment you have a 3-second pause between names, we're going to stop and we're going to count the number." And he went 68 names without a pause. And he paused for over 3 seconds, and we counted it. And he was averaging 68 patients in his office every day. And anything that's out of sight, it's out of mind, out of office. So it's making sure that we care enough to focus on service. Because when you can't wait to get up in the morning and be of service to people, people can't wait to get to your service. So this temporary slingshot effect is an opportunity to clean up the show, prioritize the systems, trim the fat, focus on what's really going to be important, the patients, and get prepared for a flood of patients coming in when this little phase is over. So it's a slingshot effect. It's going to take us to new levels. And it's going to make sure that we really honor and appreciate and really focus and care about our patients even more. Not that we don't, but it's just going to take it to another level. So I don't see it as anything but a polishing, refining, and mastering process. This is a time to plan. This is a time to put your procedures in place, practice. The professional practice is in between the performance, not just at the performance.
Yes, wise words. And that's right. It's a great time to refocus your practice and your team. You're known for saying there's a blessing in every stressing. There's certainly some stressing going on. What is the blessing that you, or multiple blessings that you'll see coming?
Well, in the profession or just in general?
Humanity.
Well, right now there's a baby boom about to be birthed. So in 9 months, we're going to have a lot of babies because people are at home. lots of stuff going on. The abortion rates have dropped almost the same number as the death rate, in case you haven't paid attention.
Wow.
The actual cleaning up of the pollution in the world has gone amazingly. California is the cleanest air they've had in 18 years. They've had, right now, the global warming is impacted by this because there's less cars, less activities, less stuff, less pollution. So there's also upsides. There's also people have been absolutely creative and comical on some of the stuff you see online. I've seen some of the most amazing, caring, considerate, focused, and comical fun things that people are doing at home in their families. The comedy is just out the roof. So there's tragedy and comedy. There's pain and pleasure. There's the two sides that life has to offer. And it doesn't ever change. It's always that way. That's just life. But being able to, if you're conscious of one and unconscious the other, the world on the outside runs you. But if you become fully conscious of both of them, you run you. So I always say, look for the other side for whatever you're seeing. Balance it out. Stay centered. And focus on your mission, not get distracted by these external circumstances. It's not what happens to us. It's what we perceive, decide, and act upon. We change our perception, change our decision, change our actions. We have a different outcome. This is an opportunity, like I said. And around the world, there's all kind of innovations. I've been doing a lot of onlines, right? I've been doing 5 to 6, 7 podcast interviews a day, and I'm doing a lot of stuff online. My seminars are online. Everything's going online. There's new innovations, new technologies, more advanced. I'm reaching people in the world that I haven't been able to reach live. So if we look for it, there's equally blessings if we just take the time to do it. The stock market's gone down, unbelievable buys. I just put a pile of money in there and already it's going up. So there's never a crisis without a blessing if you just take the time to look. And I think it's wise to sit down and make a list of all the things that are actually working in your favor right now. You'd be surprised if you just take the time to look.
Yes, and I know you're aware that community is part of healing and connection is part of healing. And while we're social distancing or physical distancing, how can people experience community and connection?
Well, I had a lady sent me a video clip of 37 family members that have not talked to each other in sometimes up to 30 years, and they had 37 people on a Zoom.
Wow. Wow. And,
I've been interacting with people, thousands, I mean millions of people. I've spoken to over 100 million people in the last week. And those people around the world, I'm reaching through technology. So there's nothing stopping. Social distancing may be physical, but it certainly doesn't have to be doing it. I'm talking to you right now, even though we're 1,000 miles away.
Exactly.
Right now we're talking, and we're reaching people. So we have technology to allow us to communicate in alternative ways during these moments. And frankly, there's advantages to this way and disadvantages. Just there was advantages the other way. If I'm doing just physical, that's limited to a local environment. Now we have non-local connection around the world.
Right.
I have things in Istanbul, things in China, things in Singapore, things in Thailand. I've been in 14 countries in the last week around the world. There's nothing stopping connection. So I just don't think that there's any reason why we have to do it. I think it's a great time right now to get all your patients, get all their emails, contact them and say, look, get on Zoom, get on the Skype. Let's talk. Let's provide value. Let's provide health advice. Let's go in and help them. Let's listen to their needs. Let's be doing that in the meantime and keep engaging those patients and serving those patients with what we can do.
Right. I agree, which means becoming more resourceful. And yeah. you mentioned a whole bunch of locations, so this might be a good moment. You often come to Denver and do programs. Yes. Is there anything coming up this year in Colorado?
I'm sure there is. I don't know what's been scheduled because I delegate. I'm pretty well useless outside research, write, travel, teach. I have everything delegated. You don't fill your day with high-priority actions that inspire you. It fills up with low-priority distractions that don't. And anything that's low-priority, I give to other people who have it high-priority on their life, and I delegate because that way I get what I want to get done. And I don't know the exact dates, but I certainly love being in Colorado, so we'll be there. I just don't know the dates.
Perfect. I know that Alana was telling me about some dates, so we'll put it in with this when that goes out. I don't recall them myself.
Yeah, she'll know before me.
Yeah. And I will say we are having, for those that are listening, our annual Mile High program for chiropractic, August 20th to 23rd. Dr. Donnie Epstein will be there among many other presenters. So that is going on. People have been wondering, is that going to stop? And we're going to certainly be holding that live. So we look forward to seeing people there. Now, with that, that's a good point. You very often talk about values and determining your values. When this kind of cultural, global thing is going on, people can very suck into fear and get lost of their values. How can people focus on their values?
Well, everybody has a set of priorities, a set of values in their life, things that are most to least important in their life. And whenever they're doing things that are highest on their value, they're spontaneously inspired from within to act. And whenever they're doing things lower on their values, because they're trying to subordinate to external circumstances and not doing what's really most important and taking command of their life, they end up going into their subcortical area, their brain, their amygdala, and they get into reaction, emotions, and then they get more subjectively biased towards things, and we tend to accentuate the positives of the negatives into more drama. And then the things that we infatuate with, we fear the loss of, and the things that we resent, we fear the gain of, and we get in fear. And there's no reason for that. We can be objective, reasonable, and focused by prioritizing. Bill Gates does a great question every day. What is the highest priority thing I can do today that serves the greatest amount of people most effectively and efficiently with the resources I have that would inspire me? That's a great question every single day. I keep to that. I already know mine. I've been doing mine so long, I already know what my highest priority is, and I delegate everything else, so I don't need to do anything else but that. And that is basically serving people by researching and teaching. But if your highest priority, if you're doing your highest priority, that's the most any human being can do every day. And that's the thing. And right now, your patients and serving them and getting your practice in order and serving them and serving your getting that ready for serving greater numbers, that's the wisest thing you can be doing. Because there's going to be a lot of people that are ready to come in the office the second it's open. They're chomping.
Let me ask you this, because I've been sensing that there's going to be a shift in focus relative to health through this and on the other end of this. What is your sense about that?
Well, you saw the 104-year-old man that went through the whole thing and came out strong?
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And I've seen little kids and older people get through and have no symptoms, hardly any symptoms. So there's, some people are more susceptible than others. One thing we know for a fact we can do everything we can do to help master our immune system, to master our aligning our adjusting our spines, making sure our immune system is maximizing, the nervous system that's governing it, making sure we're living by priority, which maximizes our eustress, not distress, eating wisely, drinking lots of water, exercising, walking, all the basic things that chiropractors are trying to help people do is now at the forefront, because the people that do that, they're not the ones having the viral problems. Now, I'm not hearing a whole lot of chiropractors ending up dying in the hospitals. I haven't heard of any of them. I've been connected with a lot of chiropractors in the last couple of weeks. I haven't heard of anybody having this problem. So the reality is that what we're doing and what we represent and what we do does make a difference, and it's time to get our message out there. They're going to be really understanding and appreciating the message we've been saying all along, because that's the people that have their immune systems that are working.
Yes, I've been telling our people that we've all been training for this our whole life, and now is our time.
Exactly. All the symptoms in our body are feedback mechanisms to guide us to live more authentically and live guided by within. And most people are extrinsically driven and impacted by others, and it runs them down instead of actually going I said on The Secret many years ago, when the voice and the vision on the inside is louder than all opinions on the outside, you begin to master your life. Our immune system and our mastery of life comes from going within and standing out, not fitting in, and being an unborrowed visionary, not a borrowed visionary. And so for people who live more authentically and by priority and get down to doing what they really are inspired by, this is the time to plan and to execute that.
Yes, yes. And it's a time for resourcefulness. I know you love showing people how to be more resourceful. If people are being less resourceful, how can they shift to being more resourceful through this?
Well, we because of our values, anything that's higher in the values, we notice in the environment. Anything that's lower in the values, we don't notice. If a mother's highest values are children, if she walks in a mall, she'll see children's items. She won't see business items. If an entrepreneur walks in the same mall, he'll see business items. He won't see children's items. We filter our reality and our pulmonary nuclei based on what we value. So anytime you live by highest values, you become more resourceful. You're able to see things, make decisions more effectively, and act more efficiently. So again, back to priority. If we live by priority, that's been the most ancient proverb that still stands true today. People who live by priority, and if you don't fill your day with high priority actions that inspire you, your day fills up with low priority distractions that don't. And the low priority distractions that don't are causing distress, and the high priority actions that do inspire you causes you stress. And you stress is wellness promoting, distress is illness promoting.
Brilliant, brilliant. Again, so grateful to have you here to share at this crucial time. Now, you help people with the DeMartini method. Can you share more about that?
Well, the DeMartini method is something I've been working on really since I was 18 years old, and I'm going on 66, so I've been doing it a bit. It is a series of very concise questions to make you consciously aware of what's been unconscious in your perceptions, to help you bring balance to your mind, therefore to your physiology, to help you heal, not just mentally, but physically also, and to assist you in seeing things that are on the way instead of in the way. What's going on in your life is actually on the way. It's all helping you get what you want in life, but sometimes we have false expectations. We called it the educated mind in chiropractic principles, verse and right. A. But our educated mind learns all this stuff by mediocre input instead of actually looking at what's actually there. And we as a result of that, we distract ourselves from being present, and we disempower ourselves from our love and power, and the DeMartini method returns it back to that state. I've been teaching it around the world many, many places. I've taught it in the Breakthrough Experience 1,094 times. I've been doing it a bit of times there. In 65 countries, I've taught that one. But I've been teaching the method in 154 countries, so there's millions of people that know about it now to help use it in their business, in their health life, their relationships, because it helps dissolve conflict. It helps dissolve prides and shames, infatuation, resentments, guilts, griefs, all the emotions that are baggages that hold us back, that are stored in our subconscious mind. It liberates and allows people to be inspired and present and grateful and loving and more certain and more enthused about their lives.
Excellent. Now, with that, since we have this current circumstance, if there's going to be people all around the world that watch this and download this and on iTunes and such, is there some aspect that we can, through this podcast, give them an exercise or something they can do that might be related to the DeMartini method to help them rise up through this?
Well, it depends. Let me just share something that would be helpful to the practitioners first.
Okay, great.
And then I'll do something on the method. It's really, really wise to sit down and make a list of everything you normally do in a day over about a three-month period. Anything you would do in a day in your office and in your personal life over a three-month period, write it all down. Just make this exhaustive list. And on a piece of paper that has six columns, that's the first column, everything you do in a day. Next to that column, in the second column, write down how much does it produce per hour, which is a reflection of how much service you're providing. If you're providing more service, you're going to produce more income. And so how much does it produce per hour? And that's really eye-opening because you may be majoring in minors and minoring in majors without even realizing it, and you're basically not really focusing on what's really giving the greatest results. So make a list of every dollar that it produces. Right next to that, another list, and then reprioritize it once it's all listed based on which produces the most service versus the least. Then go next to it is write down the meaning it gives. On a 1 to 10 scale, how much meaning does each of those actions give? what level of inspiration are you having to have to go do it? Because if you can't wait to get to be of service to people, people can't wait to get your service. You need to have a meaning to it. So put a list, that same list, a 1 to 10 scale, how much meaning does each of those things represent to you? Next to that, write down how much would it cost to delegate that, to give that to somebody else if you had to delegate it. Because you want to look for where there might be the biggest spread between what you can produce versus what you can cost, and extract surplus labor value out of people and hire people and give job opportunities to people who can do those things so you can get on doing the most important things. And then how much time is spent on each of those items? And finally, in the last column, what's the final prioritization? And go through there and prioritize what you're doing and make sure you're really doing the absolute highest priority, most important, most meaningful, most inspiring, most productive things you can be doing in a day. And you will find, because I've done this thousands of times, you will find, if you're a practitioner, that you will end up having the number one thing is sharing the message and leveraging it through speaking to people in whatever vehicle, live or in media. The second thing is to actually be doing the clinical work and actually working with people live. And the third thing is maybe doing what is an evaluation to monitor the beginning and all the way through the process. Everything else needs to be delegated out. And if you're doing anything lower on the delegations than that, anything lower in priority, you're devaluing yourself, you're scattering yourself, you're distracting yourself from the absolute highest priority. Those are the mission have a message. Sharing the message, applying the principles and the actual services itself, monitoring the results, delegate the rest. You'll end up making the more, serving the most, and having the most inspiration doing it.
I know what I'm doing when I finish this interview. It's exactly that.
Now, if there's anybody out there in your family, in your staff, in your patients, or in your life socially that you are being button pushed by, now the method comes in. The method is great for identifying what specific trait, action, or inaction do you perceive these individuals displaying or demonstrating that you admire or despise most, because you could be distracted by the people you're infatuated with or resent. Then you go to the next thing. Once you define that, you go to a moment where and when you perceive yourself displaying or demonstrating the same or similar specific trait, action, or inaction in your life. And then have some reflection and realize that what you see in them is you. This is just the only reason you have a button on them is because they're reminding you of something you have an emotion on you on. So owning that. And then if you are resenting some trait, then go to the moment where and when they display it and find out how it serves you. And ask, what's the upside? Because there's no downside without an upside. Things you think are terrible a day, a week, a month, a year, or 5 years later turns out to be something you're grateful for. So why have the wisdom of the ages with the aging process? You can have the wisdom of the ages without it by asking the question and becoming aware of it and being fully conscious and seeing both sides of things and liberating yourself from the emotion. So those are three of 80 questions that are in the DeMartini method to help you transform whatever's happening in your life from in the way to on the way.
Oh, love it. Love it. That's outstanding. Now, you mentioned that for the practitioners. What about for others right now?
Well, the patients can do that same activity. Believe it or not, that same activity, even if you're a mother at home, full-time working at home, which is a full-time job, you can also write down everything you're doing and see about prioritizing that and get some help in there. Because if you have the capacity to serve your husband or wife, and help them make more income if they're the breadwinners, or if you have the capacity to go out and make extra income, if you prioritize it, you're free to go out and make more income and then hire people to do the things, the menial labors that you don't really want to do in life. Anytime you're doing devaluating low priority things that are not inspiring to you, you create a desperate life instead of a life of inspiration. So you can do this at home or you can do it at work. Doesn't matter. That's why I said home or work, personal or professional.
So now let me ask you this. You had the opportunity to be around of one of our greats in our profession, and Jim Parker. Jim Parker was an amazing man in many levels. Is there any inspiration from him that you drew from?
Well, there's so many things. I spent many times up there in his cigar-filled, smoky area till 2 a.m. with him sometime. You know, Jim was definitely an inspiration. But he believed in the principles. I remember when he was about to go, he was about to pass, we had a conversation, and I said, so what's the plans for who's taking over the college when you're passing? He said it really good with his cigar. He says, innate will take care of that. I loved it. What he meant is he had absolute certainty that that's all in order. There's no disorder going on. And it was true. And he, and Fab, who took it over, did a great job. He did an amazing job there for a number of years. But what I noticed from him is he talked about what he called faith, confidence, and belief, I call certainty.
Yes.
What he called the love concept, I call love. What he called approval, appreciation, and approbation, I call gratitude. And what he basically called present time conscious, I call presence. So he basically had his own way of describing the four cardinal pillars of healing. And those are solid principles that I noticed in great healers in almost every profession. And those same things I've been teaching in a slightly different wording, but the same message. And if you're grateful for the opportunity to serve people, you're loving what you're doing, you're inspired by the vision, you're absolutely enthused about your actions, you're certain about the actual procedures, and you're present with the patient, it is impossible for you not to have amazing practice.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things I love about you is that you've taken some of these key principles, our chiropractic principles, and then been able to reach such a big audience and expand upon them, such as the things you just said with Dr. Jim. How with that do people connect to the innate principles through your work?
Well, I don't find people have any problems with it. Occasionally you get some people that are, you know, you just have to word it differently.
Right.
You know, I was sitting with Freeman Dyson, who just passed away a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman Dyson was like the Stephen Hawking of America. He's the leading astrophysicist at the Institute of Advanced Studies at Princeton and took over Albert Einstein's position. I had the opportunity to spend a number of meetings with him. And we talked on cosmology and astrophysics and biology and everything else. And we talked about a panpsychic intelligence, which chiropractors call universal intelligence. And he firmly believed that it occurred on a universal level, a human level, and a subatomic quantum particle level. And we had discussions about innate and universal intelligence in his systems at the advanced studies at Princeton in one of the most advanced classes where Albert Einstein's blackboard where he put E equals MC squared is sitting. So here's one of the brightest men in America, just past 96 years old, who understood that principle. Erwin Schrödinger was a panpsychic. Max Planck was a panpsychic. Sir Isaac Newton was a panpsychic. Albert Einstein was a panpsychic. Aristotle, Thales, Anaximander, all these guys were panpsychic. Chalmers. I could go down the list of great minds. Herbert Spencer, Darwin. They all had a belief. I mean, if you stop and think about it, science depends on some sort of rational order.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no rational order, if it's purely stochastic and probabilistic and there's no rational order, there's no way of making science. We would not even pursue. Some of the greatest Nobel Prize winners spent 20, 30, 40, or 50 years pursuing a solution to a problem, and they would not have pursued it or believed in pursuing it if they didn't think there was some sort of mathematical rational order underlying it. So there's an innate knowing that there's an intelligence, a higher order permeating the universe. Einstein said it's enough for me on a daily basis to sit in awe, mediating and communicating with this intelligence of the universe. He used that as a guide. And I'm a firm believer that that's something that's in the principles of chiropractic that we don't want to throw out. We want to honor. Because some of the greatest minds that I've had the opportunity to meet, and I've met some really amazing people, some great physicists. One of the leading quantum physicists making supercomputers is totally a panpsychic. He believes that there's really intelligence in the universe. We're coming to the realization of it. John Archibald Wheeler at an Institute of Advanced Studies, the same thing. Witten, the same thing. Susskind, the same thing. These are leading guys in the field who acknowledge something that is the very foundation of chiropractic. And that is that there is a higher level of intelligence. 3.9 billion years ago, a single cell, 4.2 billion now they think, a cell was on the planet. And the complexity of that cell far exceeds any biologist, any biochemist that knows today. We still, with limited thinking, have no idea how a single cell, a prokaryotic cell, even existed then, let alone where it came from and how it was organized. But yet it was there and it was more complex than all of our knowledge today with supercomputers. If we acknowledge that there's an intelligence in the universe, that's the first step. And I think chiropractic is one of the keys of our profession is that acknowledgement. And we sometimes throw it out because of our own educated ego. But that is the very cornerstone. It's actually a matrix that sits in the universe. It's actually there we're participating in. When we honor that as a profession and honor that as a chiropractor, or in any life, any matter in life, we actually are now more in tune with what's going on instead of living in a fantasy.
Right. And I know that that's central to all your teachings, for sure. Now, with that, you mentioned these, the four pillars. Certainty is something that often people have challenged, whether it be a practitioner or humanity being less certain in the unstable times that we have right now. How do people increase their certainty or foster that certainty so they can serve better?
Okay, that's a good question. If I went up to you, and I basically went over there and I said to you, if I said to you, you're always nice, never mean, always kind, never cruel, always positive, never negative, always up, never down, always peaceful, never wrathful, always giving, never taking, always generous, never stingy, always considerate, never inconsiderate. If I said that, you're always that way, never the other way, your bullshit meter would go off and you go, not exactly. And you immediately think of some times when you were a little bit on the other side. If I went to you and I said, you're always mean, you're never nice, you're always cruel, you're never kind, you're always negative, you're never positive, always wrathful, never peaceful, always inconsiderate, never considered, always stingy, never generous, always taking, never giving, you also would have your bullshit meter go off and go, no, that's not true. Your intuition would reveal to you the other side. But if I said to you, sometimes you're nice, sometimes you're mean, sometimes you're kind, sometimes you're cruel, sometimes you're positive, sometimes you're negative, sometimes you're peaceful, sometimes you're wrathful, sometimes you're generous, sometimes you're stingy, you immediately go, yep, that's true. Because you would know you have both. Hmm. You only have certainty when you have objectivity and you embrace both sides of life. So if you try to have a subjective bias and try to promote a one-sided reality, you're going to have uncertainty. And the uncertainty is a feedback to let you know you don't have an objective view. Your executive center in the forebrain is an executive function designed for objectives, not subjectives. Our subjectives are our amygdala, where our desire center is, where we polarize and misperceive things as a survival tactic. Thrival is objective that has both sides and embraces it. And that's the one that brings balance and bring homeostasis to the mind and body. Subluxation is the subjective bias, the educated mind with bias. Objectivity is the innate homeostatic balancing act that brings homeostasis, brings everything back into balance. So if we want certainty, we only have certainty when we're actually living by our highest priorities, waking up the forebrain where we have objectivity, where we see both sides, and we set realistic expectations on reality. When we do, we have certainty because you know your mission there. When a person's following on high priorities towards their mission, they have certainty about their execution.
Excellent, excellent. And then another pillar that you mentioned was presence. And I know right now in our culture, there's so much distraction, social media distracting, our cell phones are distracting, and presence is vital for healing. How can we foster presence?
I don't have a cell phone. I don't pay attention to social media. I put things on social media, but I don't watch social media. Mm-hmm. I don't let the world on the outside interfere with the voice and vision on the inside, as I said. You have to ask yourself, what's the highest priority thing you can be doing with your time? And personally, studying the greatest ideas by the greatest minds in different fields and disseminating the information that I know is solid and delivering that out into the world is the highest priority thing I could be doing, and not distracting by opinions and emotions and distractions and perceptions that are bipolar. That I'm not interested in. So filling your day with high priority actions that inspire you, your day doesn't fill up with low priority distractions from the external world that doesn't. If you're not living with self-governance, you're not living intrinsically, you're going to be impacted by non-governments, and somebody else on the outside is going to be controlling your life.
Right. And there's a lot of that going on right now.
Well, people can fill their day with that stuff. And at the end of the day, every time you do low-priority things and let the world on around, outside run your life, you're going to beat yourself up. Right. Nobody's going to get up in the morning and dedicate their life to your fulfillment. Nobody. If you're not doing it, nobody else is. You're going to have a depreciated life. But if you define and master plan your life out and define what you want, that's what breakthrough's for. The purpose of breakthrough is to help people define what they really want in life and go after it and prioritize their actions every day and take the baggage and know how to dissolve it and get on with the fuel of the gratitude, love, inspiration, enthusiasm, certainty, and presence. I call those the transcendental feelings that get things done. If you do that, you're going to have a great day. You're going to be grateful, and you're going to build momentum with that.
You know, I remember many, many years ago in practice, you had, it was like a one-page or two-page thing that we would read at our huddles in our office, and it was about priority and focus and adjusting priorities. I have to find that sheet. I don't have it anymore. Do you recall that?
I still have it here. I have it right beneath this computer, believe it or not.
Really?
You're probably talking about this, I bet.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Did I read my purpose statement at the beginning of today? Did I read my clinic new and established patient goals at the beginning of the day? Did I read my ideal optimal patient list at the beginning of the day? Did I review the patient appointment schedule in advance today? Did I give my patients special acknowledgement of thanks today? Did I call my patients on their birthdays and sing to them and congratulate them today? Did I call each patient by their appropriate name? Did I maintain a professional, not too close relationship with my patients today? Did I qualify each new patient day? Did I maintain a directed and organized patient flow today? Did I follow my scripts of responses to commonly asked questions and objections today? Did I instruct my patients to bring their partners in care and spouse to report a findings today? Did I tell my patients how much they have improved today? I basically have a list of the things that were the highest priority actions that I found at the time in practice.
Yeah.
And I had a checklist for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we did that in our office.
Everybody has a checklist in our office. Everybody had their own checklist. We focused on what was absolute priority things that we knew worked.
Yes, yes. Well, I have to say thank you so much for spending this time on this podcast. In closing, is there any last message you'd like to share with the audience in this current circumstance?
Yeah, like I said, just make sure that when your innermost dominant thought is your patient's innermost dominant thought becomes yours. When you think about them, you bring about them. There's a new movie coming out that I had the opportunity to be in. It's called How Thoughts Become Things.
Yes.
And if we are thinking about our patients, they become thinking about us. They refer, they have results. If you're inspired by what you're doing, as I said, and you're grateful for the opportunity to deliver, and you love what you're doing, and you're thankful for it, and you do the pillars that I mentioned, you won't ever have a practice problem. There's no, you know, people ask me, how do I grow my practice from around the world? Because I used to have patients from all over different parts of the world. I moved my office into the 52nd floor of a tall building in Houston next to a bunch of hotels, all walking distance from hotels. And I went in there and I introduced myself to everybody in the hotel so they knew me. And I had my cards at the front desk. So anybody that had health issues, they came to me. I went out there and the more people you meet and greet, the more you treat. So if you're not exposing yourself to people and caring about people, don't expect to grow the practice. But if you care about people, they'll care about you. I would say that one of the keys that the Hubert L. Bancroft wrote in his book on wealth, Book of Wealth, he said that those people that are very fortunate, wealthy in life, are those individuals that felt that they were by divine providence and human sovereignty designed to serve vast numbers of people. And the person who has a very high focus on serving great numbers of people will not only have a great practice, but will have a great life. And they're the ones that's going to inspire new students to go to chiropractic college. They're the ones that are going to have new doctors wanting to work with them. They're the ones that are going to have patients being referred to them. They're the ones that are going to have the movers and shakers show up in their office to help leverage things. Amazing things when you're inspired by what you do. And I think that's what chiropractic has to offer. It offers us the principles and the foundation and the procedures and the art and the science and the philosophy to go do something amazing on planet Earth.
And they're principles for life. They extend to everything, you know, everything in our lives. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And as you have done so well with helping, you know, extrapolate and also share with the world, I want to encourage people, definitely go to drdmartini.com. The information in Dr. DeMartini's programs are outstanding. I've had the pleasure of attending many presentations. I said, he's inspired me since I was in chiropractic school, so I highly encourage people to do that. And I want to thank you, Dr. John, for all the people that you have helped, you know, in chiropractic, outside of chiropractic, humanity as a whole, because you've made such a contribution to our world.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing it. And we go back quite a ways now, huh?
Yes, we do. Yes. So thank you for joining us on the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Daniel Knowles. We look forward to seeing you in August 20th to 23rd. Make sure you hit subscribe and you never miss any Mile High Tick. And we look forward to you rising up with us in August. We'll see you there, milehigh2020.com. Again, Dr. DeMartini, an honor, a privilege. Anytime you can spend time in a room live with Dr. DeMartini, as well as virtually in this time, but at one of his programs is time more than well spent. So I highly encourage you to do that. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this podcast. Again, thank you, Dr. DeMartini.
Thank you, and please thank your family, too, and Donnie and everybody. Give me hugs to all of them.
I will.